Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And this is our literature unit for the month of June. And we're going to be talking about something that young readers would prefer or learners of English as a second language. And we're talking about the Theodore Boone series, Legal Mysteries for Young Readers. So it's not only a series for young readers, but it's also all about the law.
Yeah, I think this sounds like a really fun way to increase your vocabulary. Do something you enjoy. I got tired of going to Chinese school, learning Chinese, and just doing the textbooks because I wanted to learn specific things like baseball. How do I talk about the Yankees in Chinese? So I did something different. That's a good way to increase your vocabulary range and your understanding is to pick up a novel you enjoy that's not too difficult, but stretches you, because you'll enjoy the time that you're reading and you can look up some new words along the way. I think it's a great idea.
Kind of reminds me, I haven't read a Chinese book in ages. I used to try to do that many years ago, and so maybe I should head to my local bookstore and pick up a novel or something like that and improve my reading comprehension ability. But we're going to be talking about this book series by John Grisham. It's all about the law. I guess he's a lawyer himself. You may have heard of some of his books, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But let's get to it. Let's talk about the Theodore Boone series. They're legal mysteries for young readers. Let's find out what this is all about. The Theodore Boone series, legal mysteries for young readers. Most 13-year-olds spend their leisure time playing video games or sports, but Theodore Theo Boone is different. He lives in the small town of Strattonburg in the U.S. as the son of two attorneys. His mother specializes in divorce cases, while his father focuses on real estate law and rarely steps into a courtroom. Theo has heard legal talk since childhood, so he dreams of a career in law, such as a trial attorney or a judge. After school, he usually heads straight to the Boone Law Office. He settles into his makeshift workspace, a converted storage room. Theo completes his assignments there alongside his faithful companion, a dog named Judge. His daily highlight is volunteering to deliver documents to the courthouse for the firm. Theo knows the building's corridors inside and out. He exchanges greetings with clerks and observes judicial procedures from the gallery.
Okay, guys, let's dive in. Theodore Boone is the name of the kid that these books are built around. I think he wrote seven in total, seven installments. There's
seven books
in the series. And they all have to do with Theo. Now, in English, guys, as you know, some of you know, we take our formal long names, like my name is Stephanie, but my friends and my family all call me Steph. No one calls me Stephanie in real life. But here, his real name, his long name is Theodore, but it's kind of long for us, so we shorten it to Theo. So if you see Theo, they're typically named Theodore, not always, but his name is Theodore Boone. And he's a young son. He's 13, is a young son of parents who both practice law. So, of course, he's naturally going to be drawn to that. Now, he could like something completely different, like he'd want to be a basketball player or something like that. But sometimes we follow in our parents' footsteps, and that's what he's doing as a 13-year-old. We're going to follow him on his adventures. Like Tom said, these books are for young adults, but for second language learners, I think they're perfect.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there were various series on mysteries called the Hardy Boys Mysteries and Nancy Drew Mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
They might still be published out there, but this is probably more modern for modern readers, basically, young people. So here the first paragraph says, most 13-year-olds spend their leisure time playing video games or sports, but Theodore or Theo Boone is different. I would think that nowadays most 13-year-olds spend their leisure time playing video games and not so much sports. They, you know, they might go outside and play basketball for 5 or 10 minutes before they take a break and play video games on their phones for the next hour or so. But here we've got Theodore Boone, and he's different. He doesn't really spend his leisure time
doing those fun things. I did want to say that we're saying Theo for short of Theodore. I did know a kid when I was young called Theodore Fryer. That was his last name. But we all called him Ted.
Yeah.
And that is a common shortening of the word Theodore. And so that was Ted. Hey, Ted. Hey, you want to go to the beach today? Sure, let's go and have some fun. So here, Theo, we'll just call him Theo from now on.
Maybe his parents are from Greece.
It might depend on where you're from, indeed. So Theo is a possible abbreviation.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives in the small town of Strattonburg in the U.S. as the son of two attorneys. Now, I must assume that Strattonburg is a fictitious town.
It is.
It's not true. I guess they say it takes place in this town in Pennsylvania, but I don't think there actually is a town in Pennsylvania called Strattonburg.
It's definitely fictionalized because I looked it up and I thought, where is that? He usually sets his books, Grisham does, in Mississippi. That's where he grew up.
Okay.
And still lives. But this is just a town he made up. It's supposed to be in the southern part of the U.S.
Okay. Did my information said it's supposed to be in Pennsylvania, but it could be wrong.
There you go.
But in any case here, he is the son of two attorneys.
Mm.
So attorney is a fancy word for lawyer. I think they have the word barrister in the U.K. It kind of means the same thing. An attorney, of course, is a lawyer. And that, of course, is somebody who practices law. So you could say a lawyer or an attorney. They mean the same thing.
I would say my dad's an attorney when people ask me what my dad did for a living. They represent people in legal matters, especially if they have to go to court. It could be related to business, but they could be accused of, committing a crime like murder. We're going to be looking at a situation that involves murder in this particular Theo Boone novel. So he lives in the small town that, like we said, was made up, and he is the son of two attorneys. His mother is an attorney as well. She specializes in divorce cases. That's a tough one to specialize in. My dad was an attorney. He did handle divorce cases. He handled a wide range of things, and the divorce cases kind of were tough on him. He hated to see families break up, and there are a lot of high emotions, as you can probably imagine. If you divorce, it just means a married couple splits up legally and forever. And his father practiced a different type of law. He focused on real estate law. Maybe you were somebody who wanted to buy a home and you ran into trouble, maybe with what the seller wanted from you or had promised but didn't come through, and you have to sue them. You have to take them to court to get the money that they owe you. You would have to find an attorney or lawyer who would help you with that. But his father, it says, rarely, almost never, steps into a courtroom. If you go into the courtroom, you're an attorney who is facing a judge or jury in a trial. That was what my dad did. He was very good in the courtroom. Now, here we find out his mom may go to court, but his dad does not.
Okay, he doesn't have to go to the courtroom and have trials and stuff like that and say, "I object, Your Honor. Objection sustained. Sit down," or whatever. You won't see that in his particular job there as a real estate lawyer. And Theo has heard legal talk since childhood, so he dreams of a career in law, such as a trial attorney or a judge. So he's a kid who grew up in a family of lawyers. So, of course, that influenced him, and he thought, that's pretty cool. That's what mom and dad do for their jobs. I think I'd like to do that as well. So he knows all the lingo, all the terms and things like that. So he thinks, hey, I want to do that too. I dream of a career in law. I want to be a trial attorney or a judge. A trial attorney, I guess, is a lawyer who works in the courtroom. They have trials there. You try to prosecute somebody or you try to defend someone against a charge. And the judge, of course, is the fella or the lady that wears that black robe on the high desk and has the gavel and pounds it on the desk. Order in the court! Order in the court! That's what the judge does.
Yeah, so after school, little Theo, he usually heads straight to the Boone Law Office. So he doesn't go home or hang out with his friends and play video games online or watch stuff on his phone. He goes to the Boone Law Office. This kind of sounds like me when I was young. I would go and work at my dad's office. to make some extra money. That's what I was doing there. But you learn a lot if you're a young kid and you hang out with your parents. If you have that opportunity, you can pick up some things at a young age that you might not get a chance to do later on. So he heads straight to the Boone Law Office, and it says he settles into his makeshift workspace, which is a converted storage room. So he has kind of his own office, you know, I would say. It's not a real office. They've taken a storage room and converted it, changed it into a space where he can do his work. Makeshift is an interesting word. We use it to talk about something that is temporary or put together quickly as some sort of substitute for the real thing. You know, some of you guys may have a makeshift studio at home where you can get things done, or a makeshift office. Maybe it's just a corner of your living room space, but it's what you consider to be your office space when you go home and have to work at home. Hopefully you don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of an informal workspace. You had to sort of set it up, but it's not officially an office or whatever. He's got maybe a little desk in there and a chair and maybe his laptop computer or something like that. It's a converted storage room, so it's a room where they put things, but he has converted it or changed it into another kind of room. And Theo completes his assignments there alongside his faithful companion, a dog named Judge. Okay, interesting name for a dog there.
Yeah.
He's got these assignments there. I don't suppose they're legal assignments. They're probably some sort of legal advice for people or something like that, or he's trying to solve some crimes, and then he'll have real lawyers actually prosecute the case or whatever. But, yeah, he does his assignments there in this office, and he's got this companion dog by the name of Judge Woof Woof.
Yeah, sometimes you're doing things as boring as doing filing, but, you know, that has to happen in a law office as well, so he actually does something that's kind of interesting, I think. His daily highlight is when he gets to deliver documents to the courthouse for the firm. So usually we hire people to do this sort of work, but if you could get your son to do it, that's great. You could save some money. If you volunteer to do something, of course, you offer to do something without getting paid. So he's volunteering to go and file some documents at the court. That's a very important part of a trial or any sort of legal work. If you have legal documents, they must be filed with the court before they're official, and that's what he's doing. He's delivering these documents to the courthouse for the firm. Now, remember, before in the first paragraph, we used the word courtroom. Well, this is the courthouse. That's the entire court that you drive to, you park your car, and you get up and go into. That's the courthouse or the court. Sometimes we just say court. And then the courthouse has a lot of different rooms, and he's going to a particular room to file some of these documents.
Could be the city courthouse, the county courthouse. We don't really know here, but he delivers those documents to that courthouse for the firm. I suppose he actually has to take physical documents over there.
Yeah.
And not send them as email or whatever.
No.
And Theo knows the building's corridors inside and out. So a hallway, of course, is maybe inside your school or something like that. But if it's kind of big and official inside a large castle or something like that, or a government building, we would call that a corridor. You could still say a hallway. It's the same thing, but corridor is kind of more formal.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit more elegant and elevated. It's definitely a word you want to put into your vocabulary. But as Tom says, it's the same as a hallway, a passageway, but it usually is a more formal word. Now, what he does is he exchanges greetings with clerks. Clerks work in a court or a courthouse to take care of all the documents. So when Theo goes there, they probably look at them, they stamp them, and then they give him a receipt saying, okay, we received these, and then they file those documents there. That's what the clerks are doing. He knows all the clerks, so he says, hey, what's up? He greets them. And he observes judicial procedures from the gallery. The gallery are the seats inside a courtroom where the audience, you know, family and friends can watch the trial that's going on. Sometimes it's reporters there as well. Procedures are just official steps or methods for accomplishing something. We have procedures in science, you know. If we're doing an experiment, they have procedures. You go in this order, and you must do it specifically and strictly. Those are procedures. Well, they have them in the court as well.
So he's getting a pretty good education there as a young kid, and he'll probably make an excellent lawyer in the future. But, of course, he's also got many kinds of crimes that he can solve, and that's why we have this series of books if you're interested in finding out how he solves those crimes or handles those court decisions or those, what are they called, legal
the verdicts?
The verdicts or whatever. Yeah, I'm sure you'll learn a lot about those in those books. But yeah. What we're going to learn about now is some more fine pointers from our Chinese teacher. Let's listen.
Hello, everyone. 我是 Patrick 老师。今天讲解的是 The Theodore Boone Series, Legal Mysteries for Young Readers.这个单元介绍的是一套书 The Theodore Boone Series 西澳律师事务所，主角呢只有13岁，爸妈都是律师，在耳濡目染之下，我们的主角对法律呢也有深刻独到的见解。好，那我们一起来看学习重点吧。好，请看到第一段就点出来了，故事的主角是 Theodore Boone， 好，那就是西澳多，我们称它为西澳。那再来请看到第二个这个都是交代哦，这个整个故事的背景，住在美国的 Strattonburg 这个虚构的小镇。那这边我们可以看到哦，他的父母都是律师。再来，请看到第三个句子，那分别讲到呢，他的父母虽然都是律师，可是呢专攻不一样。妈妈呢是专攻呢离婚的案件，爸爸呢则是专注在不动产的相关法律 ，real estate 指的就是不动产。再来，请同学看到第四个句子。好，那爸妈对小孩是有影响的嘛？他从小就习惯听到 legal talk， 就是各种法律话题，所以呢他有个梦想。那什么梦想呢？ He dreams of a career in law， 所以他梦想呢以后长大要做跟法律相关的职业。好，哪些呢？比方说 trial attorney， 那就是在庭上做辩论的律师或者法官。再来请同学看到第二段。好，请注意这一个小孩很有趣哦，他小小年纪呢就有自己的办公室。我们看到第二个句子， He settles into his makeshift workspace。 好，这里的 settles into 请同学把它画起来，有一种安顿进入某种状态的意思比方说啦假设说你在家里面有一个你特别喜欢坐的这个椅子，你只要坐到这里呢，你就会好像非常的舒适自在。那你可以说I settle into my favorite armchair when I get home。 那我回到家呢，我通常都会就是窝在这个最喜欢的这个椅子里面。好，再来请看到后面的这个 makeshift， 其实是临时凑合的意思。那再来请同学看到，大家都知道说这样的所谓办公空间呢应该是临时凑合来的嘛。逗点之后有讲到这个是橱窗是改装的，那Converted 就是改装的意思。好，那再来请同学呢看到第四个句子啦。His daily highlight， 这里所指的就是一天当中呢他觉得最有趣他最期待的事情。好，那是什么事呢？ Deliver documents to the courthouse for the firm。 那爸妈所开的这个律师事务所 the firm， 他喜欢帮爸妈去做什么呢？去法院送书状。为什么我们不说 documents 呢？当然是文件，那可以说是文件。可是这里呢跟法院之间的往返的文件，通常我们中文都习惯说书状，对吧？好，那再来我们看到第五个句子， Theo knows the building's corridors inside out。 那 know 什么东西 inside out 是一个呢特定的用法，这表示对什么东西了若指掌。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. This is our literature unit, and it's a fun one. We're talking about the Theodore Boone series by John Grisham. Grisham is a lawyer, and he's been writing for a long time.And, of course, he uses his background to write his novels. We'll talk about more about those novels later when we actually have a whole day to talk about John Grisham. He's produced some really fun novels that have been turned into movies, some of my favorite movies. So I look forward to that. But we're back to Theodore. We're introducing him to you in this first day and day one of a three-day unit. And he's 13. Both of his parents are attorneys. His mom specializes in divorce cases. His dad is focused on real estate. He has a love for the law himself, and he kind of dreams of a future career as a trial attorney or a judge. And after school, instead of hanging out with his pals and doing whatever to waste time, he goes to the Boone Law Office. I bet both his parents practice in the same law office. And he has even a little workspace that they've prepared for him. They converted a storage room, and he completes his assignments there. And he's always accompanied by his dog, who he has named Judge. He often gets to go, and it's a highlight for him. He gets to go deliver documents to the courthouse for the firm. And when we last left you at the break, he was exchanging greetings with the clerks there at the courthouse as he was filing some of the paperwork. So let's continue. We're going to listen to part two first, guys, and then we'll be back. Stay tuned.
He's not a licensed attorney, but everyone calls him Kid Lawyer because of his impressive knowledge of the legal system. Beyond the courtroom, he offers free legal counsel to friends and neighbors. Theo tries to help and also enjoys the feeling of being at home in this adult world. To him, law is not distant. It's a daily story unfolding in public. One day, Stratenburg is shaken by its most sensational criminal case in years. A wealthy businessman named Pete Duffy is accused of strangling his wife in their luxurious home. The prosecution contends that Duffy killed her to collect insurance money. The defense argues she fell victim to a burglary gone wrong. Despite the presumption of innocence, Theo cannot shake his gut feeling that the defendant is guilty. Okay, it's time for us to discuss the second part of our lesson for today. Again, we're talking about Theo Boone, and he's not a licensed attorney, but everyone calls him Kid Lawyer because of his impressive knowledge of the legal system. So if you're really interested in something, you're going to learn a lot about it on your own.
Yeah.
You don't wait for your teacher to assign these things to you and complete the homework assignment. Hey, you're interested in this yourself, so he's done a lot of homework himself. And yeah, he's not licensed. He doesn't have a license to be a lawyer. He's not a practicing attorney, so of course he can't actually go into a courtroom and be a prosecutor or a defense attorney or whatever. But they still call him Kid Lawyer because, hey, he knows a lot about the legal system.
Yeah, in order to practice in some of these fields, you need a license. Or maybe you have to pass some official tests that the government sets up. To be a lawyer, at least in the United States, you have to pass what we call the bar exam. And that's not easy. And there's a different exam in every state because the laws in each state in America differ. So you have to know the laws of the state in which you're practicing law. My dad sometimes would be asked to go to a different state to work on a case. But since he didn't have a law license in that state, he would work alongside a law firm that had the license, and then he would get up in court and work that way. So, yeah, he's not licensed. He's just a 13-year-old kid, but he's already taught himself a lot. I loved what you said, Tom, about how you don't have to wait to go to school to learn something that you're interested in. You can learn it on your own, which is so fun, and it's even easier today because of the internet.
Indeed, and of course, beyond the courtroom or outside the courtroom, he offers free legal counsel to friends and neighbors, okay? So if they have some questions, hey, my neighbor stole my bicycle, you know, what can I do? Can I take him to court or whatever? Well, you know, you have to look at precedent and you have to have evidence to show that he actually did it. So he gives them free legal counsel. Here, counsel just means advice or information. He gives that information or counsel to his friends and to his neighbors if they're having some problems with the law.
In some TV series, you'll hear lawyers called, hey, counselor. So they actually get called that sometimes. So to him, law is not distant. It's a daily story unfolding in public. So here's the case, guys. One day, Strattenburg is shaken by its most sensational criminal case in years. If something's sensational, it gets your attention. It's usually kind of horrific. It causes a lot of excitement, attention. Everyone's talking about it. It's sensational. And this is what happened. There was a wealthy businessman named Pete Duffy. He was accused of strangling his wife in their luxurious home. So this guy has money. He's married. And he's accused of murdering his wife. If you're accused of something, you are charged with committing a crime. So if you've been accused of strangling, you perhaps put your hands around someone's throat and just held them as closely as possible and shut off the air so they couldn't breathe. That's strangling. Sometimes in mafia movies, they'll take some string or rope and tie it around someone's neck and then pull. Horrible. I know.
Indeed. It actually seems to work pretty well. If you want to kill somebody, you can strangle them, but I don't suggest you do that.
We're not suggesting murder.
Yeah, we're just talking about legal procedures here. And again, this case involves a wealthy businessman by the name of Pete Duffy. And the prosecution contends that Duffy killed her to collect insurance money. That seemed to be quite common here. Of course, insurance is money that you get from somebody if they die or something like that. So the prosecution, of course, is the legal team of people who want to convict Pete Duffy. They're the ones who want to find him guilty and send him to jail.
They work for the government.
Right. So, of course, the prosecution wants him to go to jail, and then Pete Duffy will have his own defense attorney. So it's the prosecution versus the defense. And the prosecution says, hey, he killed her to collect that insurance money. That's the motive there. That's why he did it, or at least that's why they say he did it.
Yeah, that's what they say at least, right? So you've got the defense is arguing. Oh, we use that word in the courtroom a lot. Oh, they're arguing this or they're arguing that. They're not fighting. That's their statement of argument. This is what they're trying to persuade the jury or the judge to believe. The defense argues she fell victim to a burglary gone wrong. If something's gone wrong, it didn't play out the way it was planned. So they're saying somebody broke into the home, was trying to steal stuff from the house, and she saw them, and so they had to kill her. We'll see. Despite the presumption of innocence, Theo cannot shake his gut feeling that the defendant is guilty. When you presume something, and that's presumption, that's the noun form and the verb is to presume. You assume something without proof. You assume something's true without proof. So he just has a gut feeling, that feeling inside that tells you if something's right or wrong. That's a gut feeling. And he just thinks, I think Pete Duffy did it. I think he's guilty. And Pete Duffy is called officially the defendant.
Indeed. And of course, in American law, we have this idea that the accused is innocent until proven guilty. So
yes,
that's probably what the presumption means here. But he thinks, he did it. He's guilty. He wanted that insurance money. And that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们再看到第三段，小小年纪只有13岁，当然不是有什么呢？还没有证照的律师，对吧？他并不是有一个有证照的律师 ,not a licensed attorney。那可是呢，大家都会称他为 Kid Lawyer。为什么？最主要就是因为他非常了解整个呢法律的体制。好，那我们看到第二个句子 beyond the courtroom， 那就是呢在法庭外哦，他当然在法庭内呢不可以做这件事嘛，他常常呢都会提供给包括他的朋友啊邻居啊一些什么呢 free legal counsel， 请同学注意哦，这里的 counsel 呢就是这种咨询的意见，特别是指跟法律相关 legal counsel 就法律咨询建议。那Counsel 这个字也可以当什么呢？用来指职业哦，指律师的意思。好，那再来请同学看到第三个句子，在 of 后面有个 being at home， 这里所指的呢就是觉得相当的自在，像有些人呢就特别喜欢接触山林。 I am at home in the mountains， 那我在山林里都感到很自在。那或者呢，如果说你对某件事情很精通很熟练，其实你也可以用 at home 这个片语哦，比方说呢 My sister is at home with complex math， 姐姐她在数学这方面是很拿手的。好， 那再来请同学呢看到第四段这边的第一个句子哦。哦，这篇文章的作者呢，他因为知道哦，整套书其实故事很多嘛，所以呢他只取了一段故事来跟我们做分享。那他所讲的呢就是富商呢杀害妻子的这个新闻。好，那当然啦，在小镇里面有人被杀害的都是非常轰动的大新闻。好，我们看到第一个句子 sensational 所指的呢就是相当轰动的大新闻。那当然 sensational 还有另外一个意思是什么呢？非常煽情的。比方说大家知道八卦小报叫什么 tabloids 对不对？那我们就可以说 tabloids uses sensational headlines， 八卦小报呢标题常都非常的煽情。好，那再来请同学呢看到第二个句子，这里要请同学注意的是 be 动词后面的 accuse of， 请注意这个片语跟 charge with 的差别。一般而言呢，不需要进入法律程序，你指控别人怎么样你可以用 accuse of， 但 charge with 呢通常就已经进入正式起诉的法律程序了。好，那以上呢是我们针对这一篇课文第一天内容所做的中文讲解。 See you tomorrow.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today, but please continue and listen to our lesson next time because we're going to continue to summarize this book. I think it's the first one in the series.
It is.
Kid Lawyer, it's the first one. And of course, there are six more after that if you find this intriguing and interesting. So please join us next time when we continue to talk about this particular story. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.